All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Javier Roman. I am the Marketing and Engagement Manager with the Rockford Symphony Orchestra. And today I'm sitting down with Music Director of the Rockford Symphony Orchestra, Yaniv Attar, and Choreographer with the Rockford Dance Company, Lucas Segovia. So welcome to the both of you.
Thank you
for taking the time.
Good to be here.
Today we are talking about our exciting performance of The Nutcracker, happening on December 7th at 6 p.m. and December 8th at 3 p.m. in the Coronado Theater. So let's talk about The Nutcracker. What's the story behind that? Why has it become such a holiday tradition?
I think it has become such a staple of the holidays here in America, for sure, and more in the rest of the world. It wasn't like this. It wasn't this successful and famous until about the 60s in America and in the last 20 years in the rest of the world. But I think it has to do with it being a fantastic holiday show. It's a beautiful story. It's a Christmas time story. And because of that, I think it brings a lot of magic in that time of for that time of the year.
You know, I agree. This is fairy tales in music, but it, because it's happened during the Christmas time, I think it's a perfect holiday kind of show for people to go to. And you know, even people, if they think they don't know the music, immediately when they hear it, it's like, oh, that, yeah, of course, Nutcracker. I mean, it's been used so much in movies, and when you go into the mall and you hear it in the background, and maybe you don't think it's Tchaikovsky, but you immediately recognize the absolute amazing, gorgeous music of Tchaikovsky for the score.
Yeah, it's very memorable.
Yes,
like you said, as soon as you hear it, you know.
Yep.
You know it
absolutely.
So our performance, I think, is something really special, and I look forward to it every year, partially because we get a chance to bring our two organizations together, which I think is really, really important for Rockford and for our community. And this year is particularly special because the Rockford Symphony just celebrated our 90th anniversary, and the Rockford Dance Company just celebrated their 50th anniversary. So we have these two very long-standing organizations coming together to create an amazing show. What's kind of the impact of having these such long-standing organizations bring something together for the community?
So fascinating, because I was thinking about it yesterday, actually. When you think of 90 years of history for Rockford Symphony Orchestra here in Rockford, you can think the influence that it has had in many generations of people in the community. And the same for Rockford Dance Company. I think the collaboration is just fascinating because it brings that wealth of history and work that have done individually for it. I can't imagine a better collaboration than between the two organizations, and I can't think of a better way to celebrate it than with a show like this one that is so big for both organizations.
And I have to say, from my perspective, I think the biggest artistic triumphs, as far as an orchestra, from the orchestra point of view, that I've done in my life, not just with Rockford, but with any orchestra that I've been, is when you do collaboration with other arts organizations, whether it's a choir, in this case, the dance company, and actually we have choir as well.
And
we bring it to our main stage for our audience, for the dance company audience. We include children's choir, so we bring, and we do it in an education show setting as well. I mean, all these things is why these organizations are having such an incredible impact in the community. It's not because we do our own thing all the time. That's, you know, people are used to. But when we bring these organizations together, this is what it's really about.
It really creates something special.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
And I think it's so important that our organizations do work together to bring something unique, very unique to Rockford, that involves so many different moving parts and so many people in the community.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think it might have been you, Yaniv, when we were celebrating the 90th, was talking a lot about how an organization doesn't make it to 50 years, 90 years without the support of the community. It's just not possible.
Absolutely. It shows so much about a community that supports the arts and sustains the arts. So kudos for Rockford, and it's just great to be working and creating in such a community.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought about it from the beginning, thinking of this is my fourth year directing the production. And from the start, I remember thinking what a wonderful community this is, because it not only brings together these two arts organizations, but it also has so many community components to it. And to be able to perform it at the main theater, which is also a jewel in the region, it makes it quite special. And I think it's something for people not to take for granted. And that's also why they should come to this performance, because it is actually quite special to have, not only, like we said before, these two organizations, but also the possibility to see a live performance with a live orchestra in a show like The Nutcracker. It doesn't happen all the time, and that's fantastic.
And it's amazing that we can have that right here in Rockford.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Lucas, you mentioned this is your fourth year now choreographing this Nutcracker with the dance company and the RSO. So we're really excited about that. So I want to talk a little bit about what kind of vision or style you brought to the dance company, unique that might be unique to you. And maybe what have you kind of learned along the way? You talked about your first time coming here, but now it's been 4 years doing this. What has worked? What maybe hasn't also?
My God, it's changed so much. And that's the other thing. I think when I came 4 years ago, I joined the process fairly late. I came to replace another director that couldn't continue. And so my idea, and it was also coming out of one of the most turbulent times that we've experienced. It was the first show right through COVID. And the idea behind it was to see what we could do and put it together the best way possible, but with the resources that we had and the people that, and it was very limited and everything was an unknown, and we had a plan A, B, and C. And I was able to introduce some changes to the existing versions that they had, but not really make a mark of it that I wanted for myself. And it's not only, it's until now that I'm able to, now on this fourth year, that I feel that this is the production that I envisioned 4 years ago, but I knew that we couldn't get there just yet, and it was slowly building. I was very fortunate to have great support from not only both organizations, but from the community, and make the show as successful as it was. And so this year I'm finally able to have the changes. I will always have changes because I get bored with routine, so it will always be different. But what I love and I feel so proud about is that this year we have the largest cast since I've been involved in the organization. I got finally the metrics today. We have a cast of 125 performers, and that's fantastic. Plus this massive and fantastic live orchestra. It's really unique, and I have over 200 costumes that I decided, and we decided with the wardrobe department. But it also comes with challenges, right? Because it's still an organization that is fairly small, the Rockford Dance Company. This is ginormous for an organization like Rockford Dance Company, because you have to imagine I have one wardrobe supervisor for those over 200 costumes. So we couldn't get to where we are today without a process and without support from all of the people that are with us.
That's great to hear. So this is the best one yet, huh?
I hope so. I mean, yeah. No, it hasn't happened yet. I hope so.
Yeah, so that's great to know also, if maybe you've attended in the past, that there will be new elements, new things happening.
Absolutely. There will be surprises. There will be things that were not there last year. There are new costumes for sure for some of our scenes. There are different sets and backdrops. And we always try to make it new. I always try to introduce new ideas and new thoughts that I have, and as long as the team is okay with it and they don't hate me that much, we can do it.
And I would say also, I mean, even in terms of music, I mean, I was Zooming with Lucas last month and doing some rearranging of order of music to make more sense. And that's what I appreciate so much about Lucas, because he never stopped thinking and being creative about how he wants his vision to be brought to the audience in the most cohesive way, in the most artistic way. So it keeps us, the musicians, as well on our toes, which is really nice. You know, it's not just a routine, okay, another Nutcracker, you know.
There's more to come, but
Well, let's talk about a little bit more of the nitty-gritty of bringing this vision to life. Our rehearsal process, what is that kind of like? And how long does it take to prepare a show like this? Such a massive endeavor.
We've been in pre-production for about 8 months now for this. We started talking about it in March while we were still working on the 50th anniversary gala. But we had to move forward because it is such a big, it is by far the biggest production of the organization. So we planned it then, and then we started in September with auditions first, and then we moved into rehearsals. The rehearsals are structured, you know, we rehearse every Saturday with the larger portion of the cast rehearses on Saturdays because I can get most of the people, and it's actually when I'm in town mostly. And then different parts are rehearsed over the week. You know, the company and some of the dancers are rehearsing in specific time slots, and the same with our adult dancers. And it takes about 12 weeks, 10 to 12 weeks of rehearsals. So which then is what's different for you, right?
Oh, it's so different from the orchestra. Because, I mean, especially with the, most of the musicians, if not all of them, have probably played Nutcracker a gazillion times. And time is money. So, I mean, I was amazed. Last year was my very first Nutcracker ever. And there's a lot of music. It's like 2 hours plus of music. And the rehearsal is just 2 hours plus. So this, you know, first rehearsal, you just run the show. I mean, they've been rehearsing it and the dancers know it like inside out. But for the musicians, especially with, I was a new conductor for them last year. So to just run the show, you know, quickly, I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect. But it worked really well. They knew the music. They, you know, got to know me by December already, after a few months working with them. But it's, you know, there's just no time to waste, no time to really rehearse anything. You just kind of play it. If something goes wrong, you just adjust it a little bit, but it's very quick, very quick.
So that's interesting. Yeah. So you talked about there's so many of these little aspects happening in isolation, and then it has to really come together rather quickly.
And it's that crucial time, the production week, we call it, when we move to the theater, that it happens and we meet the orchestra for the first time. And it's always that day that's a balancing act for me as the director, but also for you, for everybody. And there to make sure that everything works, that the crew knows what's happening, that the dancers know where they go. But we can also run smoothly and on time because we also have a limited amount of time to do it all. So,
yeah. So that's interesting to know. Everyone kind of has to know everything going into the theater.
Sure.
You're just absolutely smoothing out the bumps once you're in there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
At least that's what you hope for, right?
Yes.
You know, I also feel, I mean, I know maybe I'm wrong, but to me, dancers come from this world of they're going to get whatever they want to get perfect. And if it takes them more time, so be it. In the music world, when the rehearsal time's over, rehearsals time's over. Whatever we accomplish, it's this
really?
Is what's going to happen. Yeah, this is going to happen.
Interesting.
Because if they stay 15 seconds beyond what rehearsal is allowed, that's, you have to pay overtime.
Right.
And we have to pay all the musicians like crazy. I mean, it's can break
and
the bank.
And it's so, I'm fully aware of that. So I know that I only have a very specific time frame to work with the orchestra. And so we have to make sure that by the time we get there, I don't have any dancers second guessing where they go or the choreography.
Right.
So we can really use the time to our benefit, to everyone's benefit. Because
right.
Sometimes we have to go back to parts that didn't really work or that were not really connecting with the music. So we have to play it again, or we have to go over. We have to most of the time adjust tempos, and yeah, it's quite a stressful moment before the performance. Yeah,
my conducting teacher always said to me, "Time is the worst enemy you have."
Oh,
so
my God. Yes.
So when this comes together, who's kind of leading the show then? The dancers know what they're doing, and you're conducting the orchestra to keep them together. But are you cueing off of things that are happening with the dancers? Are they cueing off of the music?
I'm learning. Once the music starts. But it's point of when to start, how much to wait between things. Mm-hmm, I am totally looking at them. They know what they're doing. They're not looking at me for any of this. So I have in my scores cues that, you know, help me know when to start. The interesting thing about tempos, which is, I think, the hardest thing for me as a conductor, is that, you know, through their months of process, they dance to, you know, a recording or, you know, something that is always consistent. And as a conductor, I'm used to like giving the tempo. And I was amazed at, I could change it in a millisecond that is different, that I don't know the difference, but they do. Their muscles remember if it's like a tiny bit faster or a tiny bit slower. It's crazy, like how sensitive their muscle memory is. That audience would not hear, musicians would know. It doesn't, you know. That's the biggest challenge, because in that sense, they're leading me, like, because I know I have to fit as close as possible to where they feel comfortable and they have the freedom to do whatever they want in what their body needs and used to, and muscle memory. I mean, it's for dancers, it's just so precise. It's crazy.
It's interesting because I had the complete opposite position. I think that when it comes to these kinds of performances with live orchestras, typically I'm more dependent on the music than the music depending on me, right? Because I will, it's exactly correct, the show will go on, so I will dance no matter what, even if the music is too slow, very fast, it skips a section or it adds a section. And all of that has happened to me in my career. Wow. Where you are, you know, sometimes it happens that suddenly there's a section that wasn't there before. Some musicians made a mistake or something, and we are completely disconnected, but it continues. But so I'm influenced more by what's happening down in the pit than I think they are by my performance or in the performance of all of the dancers. But it is true that once you have, and again, a great aspect of this collaboration is to expose dancers and especially students to a live orchestra to see, to experience that for themselves, that sometimes the music will not sound the same as the recording that they've been practicing with. And that's beautiful. For me, as with many years of career and working with many orchestras, is this thing, there's a thrill in getting ready to start a variation, which is that solo that you do, and not really knowing if the tempo is going to be there or not. And I love to watch the conductor because I can see from the hands moving what's going to happen for the rest of it. And I find that to be great because it gives me an extra ounce of excitement for the performances. Yeah.
But you know, I have to tell you, a few years ago, I attended a Nutcracker performance somewhere where there was no live music. It was a recording. And it was a beautiful recording. I mean, it was, you know, like one of the greatest orchestras. I don't know. It sounded very rich and everything. But something wasn't real. Mm. And you feel it somehow. I don't know. It's like when you know that something is artificial and it doesn't connect in that way. There's no energy that comes from the music. It's missing. I would rather have a not perfect performance with live music than a perfect performance recorded to fit the dancers. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll take a fast tempo or a slow tempo on live music any day,
yeah,
instead of a recording that I know that is predictable,
yeah,
for me, for sure.
So really the beauty of a live production, right?
Yeah.
That's
what
we're talking about.
Yes.
Of all the variables, all the things that can change in a second, and you have to be on your toes.
Yes, and I think there's also that little, there's an aspect when you are able to, then I have the possibility to then watch the conductor as he's playing, especially the ends of the variations that have that, that really have to be together. To be looking at each other, or at least look at him to know that what is happening, I think it's so unique and it's so great. So I really appreciate that. Yeah,
I'm sure we could talk about that for hours.
Yeah,
let's move on though. Lucas, you're dancing in this performance again this year, correct?
Yes, I am.
So can you tell us a little bit about you as a dancer and maybe some of the other professional guest dancers that we're bringing to this production? Mm-hmm.
So it was part of the of making it easier logistically that I danced it the first year, and it worked fairly well, so we decided to continue to do that. And this year I'm bringing a dancer with whom I danced in when I was a guest with the Madison Ballet. Her name is Janelle Mendersi, and she's wonderful. We've done this specific part together before. I enjoy it very much. I used to not like Nutcracker because when I was in companies and dance companies, there are many, many performances of it. And so it's about 40 performances in a span of 4 weeks. So it's kind of like a Broadway schedule where you have between 8 to 10 shows a week. And it takes a really big toll on your body, especially when you're doing the same parts over and over again. When I became a freelancer, and then now I do select performances only, and I only do 2 or 3 a week, or no more than 4, it feels completely different, and I have a new appreciation for the show as a whole, and also for the part that I play in the show. So it becomes very special. But we have another guest dancer who happens to be the school director of Rockford Dance Company. We also danced together in Madison Ballet, Christopher Damley. And he's joining us again as the Nutcracker, like he has done in the past. And Maria Castello, who is a wonderful teacher, with historical teacher here for Rockford Dance Company, she's also playing a part in the show.
A lot of professionals that have
a lot of people.
Done this.
Yes, there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Done this a lot of other places too. So they bring a lot of that experience to our production.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is great. Yeah. On the flip side of this, we also have a lot of student dancers.
We have
100.
It's great because it's part of this, I think it's part of the mission of both organizations, but I can only speak for Rockford Dance Company. It's enhancing that mission of presenting dance and art in general for the entire community. So our auditions were open to not only students of Rockford Dance Company, but for the entire community of Rockford and beyond. And we're very fortunate to have that. And we've had that since the first year, but this year it's very noticeable because the cast is so large. We have people as young as 6 years old to people as young as 75 years old. And that is, to me, it makes me very proud that we are able to do it, to present it with such a diverse cast and such a big cast. In comparison, I was thinking about it a couple of weeks ago when we were struggling to figure out where to fit everybody at the theater, right? And I thought, why is it so difficult? Well, because the cast here is as big as the cast that we had at the Joffrey Ballet. Except the Joffrey has, you know, at that time it was the Auditorium Theater. Now they perform at the Lyric, which has floors and floors of dressing rooms and spaces all over the place. And the Coronado is a massive theater, but I don't know that it can hold everybody, you know? So one of the struggles is to be able to fit, but I think it's a good problem to have because it speaks of people trusting the vision and the mission that we have.
And I know this year there was the inclusion of some of the adult classes as well.
Yeah, for the first time, I couldn't do it before. It was very difficult logistically to include them all. Our staff is very limited, and so we don't have all of the resources to be able to manage them, to manage all of the aspects of it. But this year we're finally able to include our tappers that I got involved with for the gala, and I loved every second of it. And I thought, you have to be a part of this organization. There has to be a part of this production for sure. And they agreed. And that's wonderful. And there are about 18 of those specific adults that belong to that group of tappers that are key to the organization because they do a lot of outreach work and they perform in all places here in Rockford. So I thought it was only fitting that they would also be a part of the production here. And we have an adult cast that has been with us since the beginning, at least my beginning, 4 years ago, and it keeps on growing every year. It makes me very happy.
So furthering that community impact, every year we also do a student matinee performance of the Nutcracker, where we invite local schools to come out as sort of a field trip and see scenes of the Nutcracker. So they don't see the whole production, but they see about an hour's worth. Mm-hmm. And we've always heard such great feedback. I believe this is the second, if not third year, that is sold out.
Yeah.
So people love it. The k- kids love it. The schools are always excited about it. A lot of the teachers are always calling so early. When is the registration going up for Nutcracker? So people really get excited about that. Can you guys talk a little bit about that student matinee? What's that like?
Well, it was a surprise to me because we did it. We introduced this 3 years ago on the second year that we did it. And it was a great idea. I had done student matinees because most big organizations have that, right? The possibility to have a community outreach and have a shortened version of a performance. So I had done them before, but when they told me that the idea was to also present it in a bilingual way, I was very excited because that meant that they would bring the materials to the schools for the kids, for the students to learn about the production and what they were going to see in both English and Spanish, and that I was offered to present it in both English and Spanish. And I thought that that was a great idea. And the first year was very successful, and the second year we were sold out, I think about a month before, and we had a waiting list of about 400 kids. We didn't know what to do. If we couldn't include we couldn't do a second performance because logistically it's very difficult to arrange. But I think it's one of my favorite aspects of this entire engagement, to be able to again further the mission of both organizations by presenting this work that is. It can change, it can shape and influence the life of those students that may have not been exposed to dance and or live music before, or being at a theater before. So it is so, so important for me to do it. It's I think it's the part that makes me the most nervous about it, because I don't want to mess it up. You know, when I'm presenting it, I want to make sure that I do a good job so they can be interested in what's about to happen.
And, you know, I've done education shows when it's just the orchestra, and with kids and attention span today, you know, in social media times and TV times, which is like, you know, so different. I think the combination of the live music and the amazing visual of the dancers, of the costume, of the set. I mean, there is so much to stimulate, and to have the kids be able to sit for an hour and be so engaged is such an important thing for both organizations. So I agree with Lucas. This is one of the exciting things that we can offer this community.
Absolutely. And I was in the room last year, and just the energy that the kids bring is completely different.
Right? Yeah. It's there's nothing like it.
I love all our audience, but there's nothing like playing to really appreciative, screaming, enthusiastic children.
Yes, absolutely.
The energy is amazing.
Yeah, when you get over 2,000 of them,
yes,
cheering, and because they will share their appreciation.
Absolutely.
They will let you know when they like something.
Yeah, and if they don't like it, you'll know.
Yeah, yes.
And I love that, and I think that it not only keeps it fresh, but it brings it back to the reality of it. The kids, and that's what I say in the presentation right before, is you are at this show. You're entitled to clap whenever you feel like it. When we become older, we abide by some other rules of theater, right? And to wait for numbers to be done, to not interrupt the performances, to take it more in than out. But for kids, I think taking it in is also expressing it right away, what they feel. So, and they do it, and they do it a lot.
Well, let's shift over a little bit and talk about more the music. Talk about that live orchestra aspect. So can you tell us a little bit about maybe Tchaikovsky as a composer, where this music is kind of coming from in his life?
Well, I think Tchaikovsky is, to me at least, because I love Tchaikovsky, even when I came to audition for the Rockford Symphony, I programmed Tchaikovsky, I think is the composer that had the most incredible talent for melodies that can evoke the most complex emotions in music. More than any other composer. The score is just so rich, full of drama. It's the perfect combination that bring storytelling and music to life. I can't think of any other composer for me that can do it so well. And you know, it's funny to me to think that when the Nutcracker was premiered, it wasn't very successful. I mean, you know, people were impressed with the music, Maybe the choreography didn't work. They didn't see it as a cohesive thing. And then Tchaikovsky did something very smart, that he did a suite of the greatest hits, you know, kind of the from the Nutcracker. And the music became so popular and frequently performed. And that kind of, I think, what became part of the success of the Nutcracker as a concept, which later, you know, helped bringing the ballet. I mean, Tchaikovsky was a composer that struggled a lot through his life, never thought of himself as a successful composer, always struggled with music, with writing symphony and stuff. But I mean, I think his heart was a lot in ballet. And I mean, his ballet score is not just a Nutcracker, but all the others, you know, Sleeping Beauty and Swan Lake and all that, show his incredible talent of storytelling through music. Again, I think it's really unparalleled to any other composer. So, you know, Nutcracker is one of those scores that no matter how many times you hear it, it still has such an incredible effect on you. It's impossible to get bored with the music.
And like you said, those melodies have become such a holiday staple nowadays.
I mean, some of the, you know, the most known melodies are used all the time in movies and stuff because they immediately evoke emotions or visual concept and stuff that it's incredible to get just through hearing some, even just a few notes, you hear it and immediately it brings it to you. And that's very powerful.
So yeah, talking numbers, we heard how many people are in the cast. About how big is this orchestra?
Well, you know, we're limited to how much the pit can hold. So it's a little bit of a reduced size. You know, if we had a bigger pit, we probably would have used a bigger orchestra. But the reduction that we're using for this one, I think, is very effective one. It's probably the best one. And I think it fits two things because it has everything in it, but it also, you know, sometimes when you play with a really big orchestra, you start to lose transparency of some voices because there's just too many people and to balance it is hard. And I think this size allows everything to come out very, very clearly. So I like that this arrangement of the Nutcracker, I think it works very well, fits this pit size. Yeah, it's really working. So I would say maybe there's 35 musicians in this version. And then we have student choir that is going to be on each side of the stage in the first act. Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's great because it also sounds so rich. Right. You would think that, well, 35, like you say, it's a reduced number, but it actually sounds comparable to any.
Right, to right. Any, yeah, I know there's like some reductions for like 8 musicians and you can't get the richness of Tchaikovsky's scoring with a very small group of people. And if you don't get that, I think it loses a lot of the emotional effect that you get from the music.
Yeah, so any particular things you're excited about from the musical aspect? Again, you mentioned this is only your second time doing the Nutcracker. So.
But, you know, I mean, I've heard the Nutcracker many times before. I mean, the music is so great. I mean, you know, there's all these, like, famous tunes that people recognize, like the march and some of the dances in the second half, Trepak and the Sugar Plum Fairy dance with the celeste, you know, things that people really recognize. And it's such a cornerstone of our repertoire. So every time this music comes, it's just such a delight to do. One of the things that I know that when I'm enjoying, because, you know, it's over 2 hours of a show. And to me, as a performer, you know, doing the music, I feel the whole thing lasts 2 minutes. Like, it doesn't feel like it's over 2 hours. I don't know how it feels for dancers, but it goes by so quickly. That's, I remember last year when we did the performance, we had only one performance last year, and I was kind of sad. I was like, you know, after all this, and it's poof, it's over. So like they say, time flies when we're having fun, right? Yep.
So you kind of spoke to this from a musical aspect, but someone coming to the Nutcracker, maybe for the first time, what are specific things maybe they should pay attention to, listen to? What are some really eye-catching things that you'd like to point out?
I think that what I would love to encourage people that have never experienced a ballet before or the Nutcracker before is to come sit and take it all in, right? This is a holiday story. It does happen over Christmas time. There is fantasy aspects to it, but there's also very real aspects about the journey of a girl that is transitioning between childhood into adolescence and what happens to her throughout. And it speaks about how brave she is and how she works hard to keep pushing through challenges. And that sometimes is overlooked because there's so much going on in the story and visually. But that is an aspect of the story that I wanted to enforce in the production, that this is ultimately about a girl who that is actually going through something. It's not just having a night and a dream. And visually, they will see a lot of things. And for people that have seen the show in the past, they will see new things that they haven't before. There are surprises like every year, so hopefully they will enjoy those surprises, or I'll be in trouble. But hopefully, yeah.
I think more than anything else, I mean, besides the show itself, I think to be able to experience a live performance of the Nutcracker with amazing set in a beautiful theater with so many dancers, with live orchestra, I wouldn't want to live in a city where something like this could not happen. I think it's important not to take it for granted, because this is an incredible community effort that enables a project like this, a collaboration like this, to happen. So don't take it for granted. Come experience it, because I think it's enhanced the life of the community, of the students, and it's one of the things that make Rockford very special. So I think everybody should take pride in this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've talked a lot about how much the community has supported this production, so much that this year we decided to add a second performance again.
Which was unheard of. A couple of years ago, we were not even sure we could do one performance.
Oh, wow.
So to be able to introduce a second performance is so unique. And again, it speaks about how much support there is from the community and how much interest there is. And just like he said, and it's such a great statement, it's to not take it for granted, because it doesn't happen all the time and it doesn't happen everywhere, actually. I'm very fortunate to travel and perform in many places, and not many places have the possibility to collaborate with an orchestra at such a massive and beautiful and historic theater. It is very unique, and I can only hope that people can appreciate it, aside from the performance itself, but for what it means for the community of Rockford.
And I'm especially happy that we can offer two performances, because I think, you know, an evening performance as opposed to matinee performance will draw different audiences for this. So this is a great audience building for both organizations, and to be able to offer everybody in the community the access to have such a wonderful show. So, you know, the students, an evening, a matinee, this is great.
That's amazing. Well, talking about something else that's uniquely Rockford is Stroll on State, which the dance company will actually have a presence there, right?
They are.
And will be, I believe they'll be a part of the parade mm-hmm. this year.
Yes.
And then they'll set up a little shop where you can see some displays of different dancing.
Yes.
And we're really excited about that, to be able to, again, get out to the community, show them that this is here, right? This
Absolutely.
Wonderful production is here. And again, that'll be a part of Stroll on State happening on November 30th.
Yes.
Which I don't know if the dance company has ever been a part of Stroll on State.
They have in the past, but right now there's a big push for it. And again, it's part of the mission of the organization to expose as many people as possible to as many cultural engagements as they can possibly do. And I find that to be wonderful.
All right. Well, any last words, any final thoughts that either of you would like to share before we wrap up here?
Come to the show.
Come see us. Come see this show. Come listen to this music that is fabulous. And you can get to see some dancing too.
Absolutely. Well, you're all invited to come to the Nutcracker again on December 7th at 6 p.m. and December 8th at 3 p.m. in, like we talked about, the stunning, historical, amazing Coronado Theater. We're really excited for this performance. I know it's one of my favorites every year to bring this collaboration together. For more information, visit rockfordsymphony.com, and you can also get tickets there. Well, thank you so much to the both of you for taking the time. There's just so much to talk about with this production.
My pleasure.
But absolutely. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.